I like being able to come and visit communion every month here, once a month at Faith, so that we can redirect our hearts back to what the Lord has done for us. God gave us His Son. Jesus gave us His life so that we could be here today free of our sins, cleansed of our sins, in back in right relationship with God the Father through what Jesus Christ has done. That's all that matters when it's all boiled down to it. We pursue so many things in our life, so many goals and aspirations and just landmarks in our life that we shoot towards. But when it's all said and done, you just sit back and just rest in the fact that we're back in right relationship with God the Father. That relationship that was broken in the garden is restored through Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And we're entering into a season, in fact, of thanksgiving. And so I'm going to spend the next several weeks here as we're ramping up to Thanksgiving to talk about thanks and gratefulness in our lives. We have much for which to be thankful. Just look around. We get to be here today in an air-conditioned and or heated, depending on where we are today, sanctuary. Nice padded seats. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Spouses and children at our side, food in our stomachs, clothes on our back, a roof over our heads, a job to go to, health and prosperity and blessings in every area of our life. And we're here to be thankful. And this day that is set aside every time, every November, a day in November that actually had its beginnings back, officially back with Abraham Lincoln. We've talked about this in years past. He sent a declaration out that says, on the last Thursday of the month, we're going to set it aside and set a time to direct our thanks towards somebody. We can be thankful all day long, but unless that thankfulness is directed towards someone, it kind of lays flat, doesn't it? It needs to land somewhere. And our thanks is not to our boss, even though we are thankful for that. Our thanks is not to our mortgage company for our home, even though we're thankful for that. Our thanks is not to anything or anybody else, because every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. All of those blessings come from Him. And so our thanks is directed towards God, who gave us even the opportunity to work. He's given us the skill sets to work. He's given us all of these things. Everything is a gift from God. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord. Not give thanks to someone else or something else, but give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And I'm so thankful for His mercies. I'm so thankful that we can direct our thanks to Him. And today, that's actually what we've done in our worship. And so today, I want us to talk about how we can cultivate a thankful heart. Write that down, because that's the title of where we're going here this morning. That's the direction of where we're headed, cultivating a thankful heart. I remember as a child in elementary school where I guess they still do this. Help me out, some of your parents here that have kids. But when we went to school as an elementary school, for me, I would get construction paper that would usually be in oranges and browns and blacks and the fall colors, right? Construction paper, the kind with the safety scissors and the whole bit, and that Elmer's glue, and you create some really nice, fun Thanksgiving sort of things. It could be a turkey, and usually you put your hand out like this and sketched out your hand, and that makes the turkey. Remember that? That's the turkey right there. Gobble, gobble, gobble on the head, and that's the turkey right there. And then also, we would cut out some black hats and black uniforms, and that would represent the pilgrims. And so we would make some fun stuff. Do they still do that in schools? Please tell me they do. That'd break my heart if they don't. But I remember as a child that, and also we would gather around the Thanksgiving table with our family and friends. And on Thanksgiving, there was always just this warm sense of gratitude and love, no matter what sort of meal that it was or no matter who was there. I just as a child just had this real sense of gratitude in the atmosphere. Certainly there was a lot of naps and football games going on too, and I'm sure there was some gratitude for those as well. You know, back in the day before we went and punched in a time clock and looked in front of a computer to do most of our work, which is seems to be more and more what's going on, and industrial things and all the mechanical stuff, the Industrial Revolution. Back before that, most of the people lived like Little House on the Prairie type people, if you've ever watched that show, where it's very agricultural, a lot of farming that went on back then. And so back in that time, and even when Abraham Lincoln made the declaration to set aside that one day for Thanksgiving, most of the nation, and we were just coming into the Industrial Revolution, but most of the nation was still living on farms, and they had acreage, and they were raising corn and wheat and cows and pigs and all of those things that were part of that. And sometimes, depending on the weather, if there was a drought, if it was lean that year and it wasn't raining, or it was hot and the sun was scorching, they wouldn't have a very good crop. Sometimes it would rain too much and the crops would get flooded. But there was always a sense of better next year. There's always a sense of being thankful for what you did have. There's always a sense of setting that time aside, whether good or whether bad, whether in bumper crop prosperity or whether in lean times, you set aside one day to be thankful. And so when I think about that whole thing about the farmers, which, again, the majority of the people in our nation back in the day did that. They had gardens. They had farms. They didn't go to the grocery store. It's so easy to go right now to the grocery store, isn't it, and pick up the corn and pick up the lettuce and pick up the stuff, and we just pick out which one looks the nicest. But back in the day, and they didn't have grocery stores. You kind of either raised your own or you bartered to get some from somebody else. But when I think about the agriculture and how they harvested and cultivated these different things, I think about that, how that we do the same thing with our hearts. And that's where I'm getting with all of these farming analogies here today, that most of us don't have farms. Some of us have gardens, but most of us go to the grocery store to get our food now. But the scenario is still the same as it relates to how we cultivate in our heart the different things. Now, how we cultivate, we can actually cultivate some things that are not so good, like complaining. And if we cultivate complaining in our hearts, it's sowing those seeds of complaining, that negativity, that finding fault, then you're going to reap things like ingratitude. So you got to be careful with that. But if you cultivate thanks, you're going to reap gratitude. And so that's what I want us to look at this morning, is how we tend to, it's really a battle that we fight in our lives based on maybe how we're bent, how we're wired. And so some of us, it's a little easier for us to find thanks, and for some of us, it's a little more challenging. But you know, for all of us, we're all born not thankful. It's not an automatic thing that we come out of the womb being thankful. If you've ever seen a child given a treat or a gift, they don't automatically know how to be grateful, usually. But a good parent's going to teach them gratitude and thankfulness by saying to them, "What do you say?" And then the child says what? "Thank you." Right. You've been trained and raised well. Very good. But it's no different as adults. Just because we grow up physically doesn't mean that we're necessarily growing out of our childhood ways. Left unchecked, whiny children grow up to be whiny adults, and ungrateful children grow up to be ungrateful adults. Selfish children grow up to be selfish adults. So the point is this: we must intentionally cultivate the disciplines and habits of thankfulness to reap a harvest of a heart-filled gratefulness in our lives. James 1:17 puts it this way: "Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." So when we begin to embrace the understanding and the fact that everything that we have, everything that we are, every breath that we breathe is something that is a gift from God, then we grow in greater gratitude towards God for those things. So I want us to look at some of the disciplines that we can cultivate that is going to help us to increase in us a heart of thanksgiving. Now, here's the first point that I want to make here this morning is this: being thankful requires practice. Now, practice is, we heard the old phrase, it says practice makes perfect. Nothing is ever perfect. Practice doesn't make perfect, but it does make things more permanent. Practice makes more permanent in our lives. The more you do something, the more permanent it's going to be in your lives, and it goes either way. If you complain a lot, that's just going to be part of who you are. If you're grateful a lot, that's going to become part of who you are. It's a daily cultivating to think on the good things. The Bible talks about think the Bible says very clearly, to think on the good things. So we replace criticism with thankfulness as our default, and it takes work, it takes focus, it takes discipline, I understand. But as we take captive our thoughts, which is so important to do, these thoughts that come in, because we have these negative, complaining, fault-finding thoughts that come into our minds, and we can either entertain them or we can take them captive, and we can subject them, if we'll take them captive, subject them to the life-altering power of the Holy Spirit in us, and that way we don't just see the bad and the negative things in people or situations, but we also look at some of the good stuff. There's some good things in people. There's some good things in situations. So we take captive those things. And we don't allow those things access into our emotions, into our thoughts, into our words, and into our actions. But instead, we allow the thankfulness to get into our emotions, into our thoughts, into our words, and into our actions. And we celebrate those things instead. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says it this way. We cast down the arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So you keep that in mind. When we take captive those thoughts and we bring them into the obedience of Christ, what does that mean? Because the obedience of Christ means that we don't speak out negative. We don't gossip. We don't fault find. We don't criticize. That's not of Christ. Jesus doesn't do that. And he speaks the truth in love, and there's a difference in that. But if we're going around just looking at faults in everybody and everything, you're going to find them. I stand here before you today, a fault-filled man of God. It sounds like a contradiction in terms, but I'm an imperfect child of God. I'm going to make mistakes, and so are you. And as we talked about on this past Wednesday night in our small group, someone mentioned this. You got one hand finger pointing this way. You got three fingers pointing back to you. The fact is that none of us have a right to throw stones. I am not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect pastor. I'm not a perfect anything, but I am a child of God. And aren't you thankful that you can say the same thing? So we look at this and say, wait a minute. Every thought that I have is not necessarily of God. Every thought that I have is not necessarily edifying to my spirit or to the person or to the thing that I'm looking at or feeling towards. So I'm going to take captive these things, these critical, these negative, these complaining thoughts. And you have to understand, too, just like as a farmer, we got to understand that these things that are critical and negative complaining, they're like weeds. They're like vines that choke out the good things in our lives. They will strangle those good things if we feed them. Because what you feed grows, and what you starve dies. I'll say it again. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. And so these weeds and these vines are going to choke out the good things as we feed the negative and the critical. It's going to make them strong in our lives. It's going to choke out this other stuff. But like a diligent farmer who tends his field daily, we must also tend the soil of our hearts to keep it weed and thorn free. Amen? You know, it's easy to complain and find fault. It really is our default. It's our human nature. But when you find yourself criticizing, complaining, intentionally making yourself, I want you to instead intentionally make yourself find something also that's good about that circumstance or that person. As you look at me, as you look at your spouse, as you look at your coworker, as you look at your neighbor, as you look at your whoever, find, if you're finding fault in that person, instead say, Holy Spirit, now I'm seeing right now what I don't like about that person. What frustrates me. Holy Spirit, I need you to show me what you love about that person, what's good about that person, what it is that thrills your heart about that person, because I want to have the heart of Christ. I want to have the mind of Christ towards that person. It's going to help. But if you keep feeding that negative stuff, all you're going to see is the stuff you don't like about that person or that situation. But the Holy Spirit can help you to find the good, because there is good in everything if we'll just look. And nobody believes me, but it's true. It's true. You're looking at me like, yeah, okay. Keep talking, Pastor. I'm staying with you, but it's getting on shaky ground here. What you feed grows, and what you starve dies. So feed gratitude and starve complaining. Feed thankfulness and starve fault finding. Feed the things that are going to cultivate a thankful heart in you. And starve those things that are like the weeds and the vines that are going to choke out that stuff and make you just a very unpleasant person to be around, frankly. Practice, practice, practice daily cultivating a thankful heart. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. Be thankful in current circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus." There's an implication there, and I'm going to add a word to it, and I don't think it's going to change the meaning of this. In every current thing give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So whatever it is that you're going through right now, in your current situation, in your current dealings of struggles and troubles and issues in your life, the Bible says to give thanks, not in most things, not in some things, not in the things that you feel like, but in every current thing, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is it His will? Well, let's go back to point one, because practice, practice, practice. If you practice a thankful heart, it'll help you to cultivate that thanksgiving and that gratitude inside of you. If you feed it, it'll grow. And God's will for you is to not to find fault and to be critical and to be negative all the time. That's not God's will for your life. That is highly unattractive to people inside the church and outside the church. I would never want to be like someone like that. I don't want what you have. What you're selling, I'm not buying, if that's how you're going to be. But the will of God in Christ Jesus is that we walk in a place of gratitude and thanks, that no matter what situation, what current situation that we're in, we're going to give thanks. It may not change what's going on out here, but it's going to change everything about what's going on in here. Farmers cultivate. They tend in rain and in shine. They tend in hot or cold. They tend the ground against many predators and against much adversity. And in all circumstances, they're still tending their crop. They're not going to go out there one day and say, well, some old deer got a hold of that one little place right there and one little portion of my farm, so I'm not going to do anything else with anything else. I'm just sitting back. I'm done. Well, it got kind of hot today, and it made one of my little tomatoes dry up, so I'm done with all of this. I'm just out of here. He would never do that. He tends to what can be tended, and he tries to adjust what needs to be adjusted, and he's constantly making those mid-course correction on his field so that he can have the most successful harvest at the end of his growing season. You see, it's a perspective shift for us. Just because we don't see the big picture doesn't mean that God doesn't. Because God does see the big picture. Instead of complaining about the here and now difficulties, it's hard to do. But just as we were singing this morning, I will myself to thank God for that thing that I am facing right now. I will my heart to thank God and in the current things that I'm experiencing, that, Lord, you're going to bring good and you're going to redeem it not only for my good, but for your glory. I'm going to praise you. I'm just going to praise you. It's hard to do because our flesh wants to say, yeah, but this and this and this, but I'm going to keep cultivating praise in my heart and thanksgiving in my heart because it's going to make me have a heart of gratitude towards things. And you'll begin to find some things in your life that are worth thanking God for. I don't know. Have you ever thought about giving Him thanks for the tough stuff? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought, now I'm just going to put this little thought on your head here. Have you ever thought about thanking Him for the tough stuff, for the unenjoyable stuff, for the challenging stuff, for the stuff that doesn't seem to make any sense to you? Have you ever thought about giving Him thanks in the times when it seems like He's forsaken you? Have you ever thought about giving Him thanks in the times when it feels like that He doesn't care? That's the time to thank Him. That's the time to praise Him. That's the time to hunker down, tie another knot on the end of the rope and say, I will bless the Lord at all times and in every current thing that I'm going through because it's your will, because it's going to cultivate in me a heart of gratitude for Him. Because I know that He's got my back. He's got my best interest at heart. Now, folks, I know that maybe some of you may be going through a tough time today. Maybe right now you're in a current situation that's very difficult, but not for all things, but in all things, give thanks. In your current situation, give thanks. And as you do, you're cultivating a harvest of a thankful heart. How many wants a harvest of thankful heart in your life? Yeah. Here's the next thing. Be thankful when things are going well. Now, that seems to be a little bit like a silly suggestion, doesn't it? Well, why wouldn't I give thanks for when things are going well? Of course, it's easy to give thanks when things are going well, isn't it? But here's the danger when we don't. Because a lot of times I think we assume that things should always go well with us because, well, we're a child of God. and we're doing all the things right, quote unquote. We're following all of his rules. We're loving him with all of our hearts, coming to church and paying our tithes and serving him in the church and witnessing for him and praying over our meals. And now I lay me down to sleep and all that stuff. You know what I'm talking about? But then when things go bad, we go, wait a minute, God, I was doing all the right things and still. So we give God praise in the good times, not ever assuming that we should always live this perfectly abundant and blessed life, because things do happen that are not so pleasant. And we're serving the Lord with all of our hearts, and in the good times, we bless his name. There's an old song that says, in the good times, bless his name. In the bad times, I'm going to do the same, and everything, give the King of Kings all the praise. I'm going to give him praise in the good times. Because it helps me to understand that when things are going well, in the green pastures, beside the still waters, in the times when things are going really well, I'm not going to take them for granted. But I'm just going to continue to cultivate a heart of thanks always, 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 in the good stuff, in the bad stuff, and in everything in between. You see, a farmer never takes for granted a bumper crop year, I don't think. A wise farmer never takes for granted a bumper crop year. He doesn't feel God owes him an abundant crop every year because he's a good person who does good stuff. He's subject to the weather and to the other things that are going out there as well. But he still gives God thanks. If you're going through a bumper crop year in your life and God is blessing you or things are going fairly well, I challenge you to give God thanks right now for in your life for those things. Don't expect those things to always take place, because there's good and there's bad. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right? Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's in the good times and in the bad, in the harvest bumper crops and in the lean years too. And as you thank God, you're acknowledging the blessings are from him and not from your own doing. I'm a good farmer and therefore I got a good crop. No. I'm a good Christian, and therefore God is blessing me. No, it has nothing to do with it. We bless the Lord because he's a good God. And in the good times, we bless him. And in the difficult times, we bless him. Because as we do that, as we bless him in the bad, in the good times, it keeps us focused on being thankful at all times. So whether in tough times come or the things that are not going well, you're thanking him always as your source of blessing. Amen? So here's the next thing. We're thankful for our past. Just be thankful for your past. This is a little bit more difficult for us, maybe. As you look in the rearview mirror of your life and see how bad things brought about good things, and they have, I want you to look back at your life for just a minute. Your upbringing, maybe, or maybe just 10 years ago, or maybe just last week. The past is the past. Whatever it is that you went through, it may have been tough going through it, but you see now that God's goodness and faithfulness as a result of it has brought you through, right? Has God been faithful to you? Has God been good to you? In the tough times, can you look back and see his fingerprints all over the situation in your life? Knowing that in those difficult times, God showed up, didn't he? Can you see those things? If you can't, ask the Holy Spirit to show you those things. And he's going to bring to your remembrance some examples, some situations, some of the dynamics of what you went through. And he's going to say, hey, that was me. Right there, that was me right there where you weren't sure about it. That was me back then. Remember 20 years ago? Remember in your childhood that thing happened? That was me. And you're going to be able to see his hand on your life and his faithfulness and goodness even through the most difficult times. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You know, a tough childhood, maybe a devastating diagnosis, a financial setback, or some life-changing event in your past are all opportunities for us to see how God took them and turned them into something meaningful and powerful in our lives. Go back and look at the stuff again and say, Holy Spirit, I need your help. What this did to try to define me in a negative way, what Satan would mean for evil, where I've been blinded to the fact that you were in it, show me those things. And I also want to challenge you with this one more thing. I want to challenge you to thank God for those things. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor, what I went through. Thank God for it. Oh, but it was a difficult situation. It was all that I could do just to be here today. Thank God for it. Oh, but I was really abused when I was a child, and that awful thing that happened when I was 20 years old, and you just don't know. Thank God for it. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, right? We just read it. In all things, in everything, for this is the will of the Father through Christ Jesus. If you haven't thanked God for those things, write it down and say, all right, Pastor says I need to thank God, and it's going to be hard for me to do, but I'm going to do it. Give it a try. And maybe it's the first step to turning those things around in your life. Maybe. Maybe the Lord is just waiting for you to give thanks to him for it. And it's just going to be an opportunity right then where it's going to pivot in your life, and it's going to bring things in a different direction, where up to this point you've been headed this way. And as you give thanks to him, he's going to change the dynamics and the perspective of where you are in that situation. And those things, again, will no longer define you or control you, but you can overcome them, and you can then actually use them to bless and to comfort and strengthen others. Romans 8:28 says it this way, and we know that in all things they work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We all know that scripture, don't we? All things, really? Yeah, all things. Work for the good, really? The good, yeah, for the good. Just know that he loves you with an everlasting love. And he's working those things in your life, those difficult things in your past, to bring glory to his name and strength to your life. And here's the last thing that I want to share with you that's going to help to cultivate a thankful heart, and that is this. Be thankful because there's power in thanks. Be thankful because there's power in thanks. Psalm 28:7 says it this way, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song, I will praise him. There's something about praising. In this verse right here, you can hear David's heart as he's written this, and he's saying, hey, as I praise the Lord, as I praise him, he becomes my strength and my shield. As I praise him and thank him, no matter what, it's like it's building your fortitude, and it's building your faith. You know, you think about a farmer again. A farmer just keeps on cultivating, doesn't he? Why? Well, it keeps him focused. It keeps his skills keen. It keeps his stamina strong. He stays in good shape, physically, mentally, emotionally. He's just going to keep farming. He's a farmer first and foremost, and so therefore he farms. Well, if we're praisers first and foremost, I'll say it again. If our first and foremost defining of who we are is labeling as I'm a child of God who praises, I will praise, I will bless the Lord, I will praise. At all times, I will praise. If we are praisers first and foremost instead of complainers, we give praise and thanks to God. If we're praisers first and foremost, what do? We give praise to God. If we're praisers first and foremost in our life, we're going to give praise to God. Why? Because he's good. Because he's our strength and our shield, just like David said in the scripture. And he keeps us focused and strong in our faith, and that will therefore produce gratitude towards God in our lives. Ah, Pastor, why are you saying all this? Because the Lord wants us to be praisers, filled with thanks and gratitude in the good times and the bad. On the flip side, though, there's power in complaining and there's power in criticism, isn't there? You've probably seen that in your lives, or maybe some of your relatives or friends that you know. As you complain, as you criticize, as you find fault, it's going to take over your life. It's going to start ruling your heart. It's going to sour your attitude, and it's going to give you a poor spiritual vision. I don't want to be a complainer. I don't want to be a fault finder. I don't want to be a critical person. How about you? But when you look through the lenses of praise and thanksgiving, many of you are wearing glasses here today, and you are wearing them because it helps you to see more clearly through them to things like me and other things that you're looking down when you're reading. The same way goes with our lenses of praise and thanksgiving. Picture there's praise and there's thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. And as we look through those lenses spiritually, through our spiritual eyes, we're going to begin to harness the power of our tongue. It's going to begin to intentionally use it to express thankfulness and gratitude instead. And we're going to cultivate a heart of thanksgiving that's going to begin to change our vision from worrying and complaining to praise and gratitude. I want to look through praise and thanksgiving. How about you? You know, thanksgiving is a superpower in our lives. If we were to all wear a cape it'd have a giant T on the back of it. Capital T for Thanksgiving. And I would love for each of us spiritually to wear this cape on our lives that has a giant T emblazoned on the back that says that we are praisers. We are full of thanksgiving in our lives no matter what. Chick-fil-A has this new kale salad. It's called the superfood. It's just called superfood. It doesn't say kale salad. It says superfood. If you ever go there, I'll take a superfood side. It sounds like pretty cool, doesn't it? And I guess the reason they call it superfood is because it's good for your body. Well, guess what? Thanksgiving is like superfood for your souls. It's packed with spiritual nutrients that's good for us in so many ways. Here we go. Here's the analogy. It provides essential spiritual minerals that moves us past our experiences. It moves us past the past and the present things in our life. It moves us to what we see with our eyes and what we feel with our emotions, and it strengthens us and helps us to embrace God's hand and plan for our lives. You know what else that Thanksgiving does? It inoculates us from the disease of complaining and fault-finding, which, by the way, is highly contagious at this time of year and every time of the year. It's not flu season. Complaining and fault-finding is contagious 365 days out of the year. As you thank God, as you cultivate a heart of thanksgiving, it's like a vitamin for our hearts. It's helping us it helps us from taking things for granted, those good times in our lives, and it helps us, it keeps us from allowing the bad times to rule us and to ruin us. And here's the fun part about it. It enables us to empower and to help others with their perspective as well. Why are you so happy? Why are you so grateful? And you thank God all the time. You're like Pollyanna. It's just always happy, always positive. Well, not always, right? Not always, right? But we do our best, and we'll walk around and we say, you know what? And I think I'm fairly notorious for this. If I hear somebody say something negative, I say, yeah, but how about da-da-da-da? And I'm always like glass half full kind of guy. I really don't have a whole lot of problem with that in my life. I tend to be a little more glass half full, and I try to put the positive spin on things. But for some of us, it's not so easy, and I guess that's who I'm speaking with today, is for you that are struggling in this way. Because there's a lot of folks that are struggling out there to see the good and to give thanks. There's a lot of complaining in social media. There's a lot of good in social media, but boy, I tell you what, it feeds this sort of stuff too, because people just jump on the bandwagon, and there's a lot of negative and fault-finding out there. And just because, by the way, I say this before, I'll say it again, just because everybody is doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Just because a bunch of people are doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing. I'd rather be a person that's a few people doing it and it'd be the right thing than a lot of people doing it and it'd be the wrong thing. And the right thing is to find reasons to give thanks and praise, to cultivate a grateful heart. There's plenty of negative out there. There's plenty of fault finding. There's plenty of complaining. I'm going to be on the side of gratitude and thanks. How about you? Especially in this season, and to think about it, as we're coming up on Thanksgiving and coming up on Christmas, I'd say for the next couple of months, there's going to be an awful lot of that sort of thing put out there in our culture, in our day-to-day, whether it be work, school, TV, radio, the internet. It's all out there. Really, bottom line is to get your dollar. That's really what's going on. But then there's some also sort of stuff that's going out there that says, hey, listen, Thanksgiving is a time to gather around family and friends and to give thanks to God. Christmas is a time to give thanks to the birth of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's not Santa Claus' birthday coming up on December 25th. It's Jesus' birthday, and we're going to make sure to emphasize that. Yeah. But it helps as we walk this thing out and as we just are careful, and we're not going to just pop up one day and say, okay, I'm all thankful. It's a battle. It's every day. Things come into our lives. But as we're able to cultivate that in our lives, we're able to then to infect others with what we have. And that's really a big part of God's plan for his life, for your life, is for him to flow through you thanksgiving and gratitude to others, because the world is in desperate need of the Christ in you. Of Jesus in you. Not the Jesus, by the way, who complains and finds fault, but a Savior that helps us to live a life with a heart of thanks and gratitude in the good times and in the bad. For the past, for the present, for the future, acknowledging that God in all things, and knowing that he's with us through it all, it makes everything work out for our good and his glory. Aren't you thankful for God's great, for his blessings in our life? So as we close here today, I'm going to ask Emma if she could slip on up to the piano. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand with me, if you will. So in this Thanksgiving season, as we're entering into, we're officially into November. We're officially into this Thanksgiving season. Halloween is out of the way, thank God. And we are moving into a place of gratitude and thanksgiving. And it can tend to be extremely stressful for many people. It can tend to be very lonely for many people. And it can tend to be frustrating for many people. Because the ideal that's out there for Thanksgiving, the ideal that's out there for Christmas, is never quite matched up to the reality of what happens. There's a lot of frustrating situations that can come up. A lot of stress and a lot of pressure. People don't have the finances that they need to buy presents, or they don't have any family to hang out with, or the family that they do hang out, they wish they didn't have. You know, it's stressful. There's some difficult things that are going on coming up. And there's a lot of folks in school. There's a lot of folks in your workplace. There's a lot of lonely people, stressed out people. Don't be one of those. How about it? Be one of the people that says, I'm going to walk in thanks and gratitude. And when I come across someone who's frustrated or struggling, or you could just tell that they're not in a good place, Lord, that you would just use me to carefully but lovingly and kindly point them in the right direction to say, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, yeah, it may be this, but also, how about this? Have you considered that God is good, that he loves you? Just an opportunity to witness to someone, really. This is a great season, an opportunity, this great time of the year to witness to people that are struggling. Yeah, I know you're going through stuff right now, but don't let that be something that keeps you from witnessing to someone and saying, well, listen, in the bad times right now that I'm going through, I'm still going to give him praise, and I'm not going to let this blind me to the opportunities that are around me, because it's in my witnessing, it's in my declaration of God's goodness in my life that maybe it'll change the heart of what's going on inside of me. Let's cultivate a grateful heart. Let's pass it on, because we truly do have so much for which to be thankful. Philippians 4:8, we finish it up with this. Finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on, and I might add, cultivate these things. Would you pray? Father, as we bow our heads today, we come before you not perfect, not even going through perfect situations in our life. We're struggling with things that are right in front of us. We're struggling with things in our past that we've carried along with us over the years. We're struggling with a negative heart. We're struggling with a heart that's full of ingratitude, maybe, or we're struggling with finding fault in people and things, and it's just souring us. God, we can't be any good for others if we can't be any good in our hearts. It's just hard. So let today be a day that we give over to you the sourness and the criticism and the negativities and the bitterness and the fault-finding. Lord, that we lay that at your feet. Help us to walk in love and forgiveness towards one another. Father God, too, then help us to see the good in our current situation, in the struggles. Help us to find the good in our past, the things that we've brought along with us, and to give you praise for it. Lord, that we would just be disciplined and diligent and intentional in giving you praise, even if we're going through a good time and we feel like this message really doesn't apply to us because, hey, things are going pretty well. Well, then we're to praise you as well during the good times. It really covers every second of every moment of every day of our lives to cultivate a heart of praise. And Lord, as we do, even if it's just a little bit that we're cultivating, let it be something that is useful to you for others. Lord, we know that we just need to plant one seed and we're going to get a whole big tree full of apples. So it doesn't take much. So Lord, plant a seed of gratitude in our hearts. And as it grows, let it be something that we can share with others. In this difficult, challenging season for so many people, and the stress of the day-to-day, and what's going on in our world, in our nation, in our families, in our workplaces, our schools, there's some good to be found as well. Show us what that looks like. Open our eyes to see those things. The glass is half full. There are things to praise you for. There are ways to rejoice. There are things to cultivate gratitude and thanksgiving. So help us to show us what that looks like. As our eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I just want to challenge you to right now lay those things before the Lord. Just in your heart, in your own way, pray to the Lord and say, Lord, I am kind of negative right now. I'm finding fault. There's some things in my life that I don't like that I've allowed in. And I just repent of those things. Why don't you just take those things away? And Lord, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to see everything through the glasses of complaining and negativity. I want to look through the lenses of praise and thanksgiving. You're a good God, and I have much for which to be thankful in my life. Lord, I lay these things at your feet that are not feeding my soul well, and instead may I starve those things. And instead, Lord, help me to feed those things that are of you, praise and thanksgiving, because I want a heart of gratitude towards you. That's a great prayer to pray. Pray that prayer right now. Just pray it in your own way. Give it over to him. Help me to starve those things that are not pleasing to you, of negative and fault-finding and complaining. Instead, Lord Jesus, help me to feed praise and thanksgiving so that I can have a heart of gratitude. Well, that's our prayer this morning. Now, that's a first step. Now, show us what this looks like every day, every moment of every day. As we dismiss here, the challenges are going to be right in front of us immediately. God, change us, rewire us. Help us to see things the way you see them, to feel things the way you feel them, to speak out your words and not ours, to have your thoughts be our thoughts, and our thoughts would be held captive and cast down that are not of you. That's our desire. Lord, we thank you for this season of Thanksgiving. Help us to truly be thankful for salvation, for your blessings in our life, for this beautiful church, this body of believers, for your word, your precious word that we can read, and it's our instruction manual for life that we can delve into, and it can make us more like you. It can encourage us, gives us hope for the future. It recalibrates our hearts back to you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your blessings in our life. We have much for which to be thankful. Show us what those are and help us to celebrate those things, to live there. And instead of the other things. And we give that other stuff to you. We just give it over to you. Lay it at your feet. Thank you for it.